News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
The Minister for Justice and Equality, Charlie Flanagan, has announced the commencement of the Domestic Violence Act for 2018. The Act seeks to improve the protections available to victims of domestic violence under both the civil and criminal law. And joining us this morning to discuss the benefits and the challenges facing the new legislation is Dr. Louise Crowley, Senior Lecturer in Family Law at UCC. Louise, thanks for talking to us this morning. Will you start for me by telling us a little bit about some of the new protections and the new services that victims will receive under this new legislation being introduced by Minister Flanagan?
Good morning, Susan. This new piece of legislation, which, as you say, has just been commenced this week, it's hugely welcome, very much overdue. It's in response to our international obligations and seeks to develop both laws and practices that speak to best practice internationally. I suppose in terms of the substantive law that has changed, there's sort of three key areas. In the first place, it extends and expands the categories of persons who can look for relief under domestic violence law in Ireland. So for the first time, parties who have been in an intimate relationship, either currently or previously, but have never cohabited together, can now seek protection and safety orders from the courts. And this, I suppose, represents the ongoing modernisation of Irish family law, whereby there's a recognition that parties don't have to be married to be deserving of state protection in cases of violence. So that's hugely welcome, particularly for young women, a huge number of whom first experienced violence under the age of 25, and so previously would have not gotten protection where they hadn't cohabited with their partner. Another key development is the new remedy of an emergency barring order. So again, historically under Irish domestic violence law, the property owner really had the trump card, because where the property owner or the person who owned the majority of the property could not be removed by way of emergency barring order or any barring order because his property rights were deemed to be constitutionally stronger than the need to protect the vulnerable party. And so because of our international obligations, we were obliged on signing the Istanbul Convention to create this emergency barring order that can last for 8 days for any person who is in immediate serious danger, irrespective of whoever owns the property in which they live. So that is huge, because it's a real first recognition by the Irish lawmakers of the absolute importance of recognising the hugely vulnerable position of a victim, irrespective of whether or not they own the property. And then thirdly, just very briefly, we've introduced a new criminal offence of coercive control, and putting the domestic violence laws and regulatory framework within the criminal context for the first time in Ireland, whereby there's a real valuing and understanding of the very vulnerable position and the need to criminalise the behaviour of the offender.
Louise, tell me about the main concerns then when it comes to implementation of that new service and the new legislation in terms of resources, both, yeah, I guess, with the guards and with the judicial system as well.
Yeah, so alongside a lot of that very important legal changes, there is a change in processes whereby we're much more victim-centric in our approach now. So that means that judges, for example, must now explain their decisions, giving us better understanding of evidentiary thresholds. They must also take a list of factors into account. They're obliged now to take these factors into account, such as economic dependency, you know, if there's a history of escalating violence, etc. And this is very important for those advising victims of domestic violence, and also for the transparency of the system and understanding of what needs to be proven to achieve orders. I mean, obviously the difficulty here is that we operate in a very stretched court system. We've been pushing for reform of family law courts to have specialised courts with specially trained judges who understand, you know, the very unique nature of intimate partner violence. And so if these laws and processes are to improve, as they can do under this Act, and that must be commended, we really need specialised judicial training. We need judges who truly understand domestic violence, the cycle of violence, and we need to have better court facilities. We need to better respect the needs of parties in these cases. Other difficulties, of course, will be the need for more resources for the Gardaí. Obviously, when an incident of domestic violence happens, the first responder is typically the guard who receives the call in the Garda station, who needs to attend the scene, whether there's a breach of an order or there's a first incident of domestic violence. And this is an incredibly important moment for that vulnerable person who is the victim of violence. And so there has been a huge, the Gardaí have given this huge attention, to be fair, after much criticism and numerous Garda Inspectorate reports. The 2018 Garda policy on domestic violence and domestic abuse intervention has really recognised, you know, the nuances and the expertise needed for the guards. And so they have developed a policy whereby they have committed to better understanding the cycle of violence, the vulnerable position of the woman when she makes that call, the need for a risk assessment of the scene, and the need to understand that, like uniquely in domestic violence law, the key witness is also the victim. And so we need to move away from putting the onus on the victim to pursue remedies through civil remedies, and to put it back on the state to have a pro-arrest and pro-charging policy against any person who commits what is essentially a criminal assault, but historically has always been treated as a domestic matter, best resolved between the parties privately in family court. And so it takes a whole new mindset. And I think that mindset and much more progressive pro-victim approach is very evident in the provisions of the Act. And it will be about how it's implemented within the court system, the reactions of the guards, and the ability of the support services, the hugely important support services for women who are victims of domestic violence, to be properly resourced. To allow the service providers to support women, both who are victims at the time of the crime, but also right through the legal process, which unfortunately historically has essentially re-traumatised and re-victimised the victims of violence in trying to pursue court orders for their own protection.